Hey everyone, welcome to our interview series for the Nonfiction Authors Association. Today I'm talking with Joanne McCall with Easy Ways to Get Media Coverage. I'm your host, Stephanie Chandler. Appreciate you spending your time with us today. This event will last up to 30 minutes and recordings are available to authority and VIP members of the Nonfiction Authors Association. If you're new to us, our members receive our author advisor email every Friday, featuring cultivated media leads and links to exclusive member content. Members can also participate in free mastermind groups we call the Author Brainstorm Exchange and get access to our private community on Facebook. Discounts are available for our year-round Nonfiction Book Awards program, the annual Nonfiction Writers Conference, and our book marketing and publishing master courses, both with optional professional certification. We can't forget discounts with our awesome partners, including Lulu, Findaway Voices, Office Depot, Ingram Spark, and more. We'd love for you to join us over at nonfictionauthorsassociation.com. And now I'm thrilled to introduce our guest today. Joanne McCall helps nonfiction authors become media darlings so that media calls them. Her secret sauce is positioning, securing, and helping authors to deliver compelling interviews and capture media attention through the various media channels now available. On a first name basis with hundreds of top rung producers, editors, writers, and journalists, she secures coverage for clients including Brian Tracy, Ken Blanchard, Dave Ramsey, Jeanine Roth, Dr. Donna Stoneham, the Deepak Chopra Center for Wellbeing, and the founder of NLP, Dr. Richard Bandler, and many others. Her media strategy sessions help authors become media darlings, and her media finishing school gets them visible. Hey, Joanne, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Stephanie, I could never say no to you.
Thank you for that. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I have referred many authors your way, so you do great work.
Oh, you're awesome. Listen, when I read your bit about all you offer through your VIP group and all of that, I mean, who could say no to that? It's just like, it's all there. I mean, anybody listening, join up if you haven't done that yet. So,
You're sweet. Thank you. Yeah. We really try. We try to over deliver, but we're talking about you today and some strategies for getting media. I think that authors, especially newer authors, need some guidance on how to go about this. So what are some media opportunities do you recommend our nonfiction authors start by pursuing?
You know, the first thing that I would say about that is being a nonfiction author is so wonderful because you have so many opportunities. It's countless at this point. Fiction authors, just as an aside, much tougher. You're really looking at reviews for the most part, but nonfiction authors, you can just, you know, the sky's the limit. There's all kinds of opinion pieces. There's getting interviews with columnists. There's a podcast. There's radio shows. There's internet TV. There's regular terrestrial TV, which is very powerful, which also runs on websites. So, I mean, the whole idea that there's, you know, online and offline is really not the case anymore. Everybody has an online component. So I'll just say that. But the opportunities are truly endless. And I would like to just describe one thing that I think, if you get this in your mind, I think it will help you to make some important decisions as you go along the publicity path. And if you could just picture in your mind a stool with three legs. And the first leg is what I would call and do call you media. This is all about you. It's your website. It's your blog. It's your channels. It's any way and anything you do for content creation. It's you. You own it. The second stool is what I call borrowed media. And that's your social media. Some people think that they own the material they put out there, but they don't. And unfortunately, sometimes things happen where algorithms change or a platform cuts out and ends a bunch of accounts. It's happened, like Twitter. Do you remember that one time, Stephanie? It's probably more than one time, but thousands of people lost their Twitter account.
You were one of them, Joanne. We lost our account last year, 70,000 followers.
Oh my God. I didn't know that.
Yes. It's horrifying.
Did it come back?
No.
It never came back. Okay. Oh my God, you are my poster child for this one now. Yep. That's very upsetting. And I've known people, and I know you're not one of them, but there are people that only count on social media as their way of getting their message out there. And that is a mistake.
Agreed.
Yes. So stool, the leg on the stool, number two, is the borrowed media, that's social media. The third leg, and probably what we'll talk about most today, that's earned media. And earned media, that's really jumping through hoops. It's getting someone else to cover you, whether it's interview you, feature you, somehow highlight you on whatever their media channel is. And you had to do some things, some things to get on there. And all three of those components are important. They all work together. So I think this is important to keep in mind as you consider what you want to do when you're getting media. For example, if you want to get earned media, which I think everybody does, when they are considering you, they're going to come back and look at your platform. They're going to look at, you know, have you been interviewed anywhere else? Or even if you haven't, they're going to look at, you know, your branding and what is your message? And do you have a landing page all about your book? And are you talking about, you know, your key messages and, you know, what's on there? And do you have pictures? And does it look like you know what you're talking about? So they're going to look at that first. No one has to take a chance anymore. There was a day, if you pitched the Today Show, they really didn't know what they were going to get necessarily. I mean, back in the old days, we overnighted a VHS cassette. You remember those days? Sounds like a lifetime ago, you know, but there was a day. And then there was the day when overnight wasn't quick enough anymore. You know, we've long passed that. Now it's like you have to include a link in the pitch initially. So earned media is probably the focus here today. So I just wanted to give that description so that you know how important each leg is.
I love that description. And you mentioned, I mean, you have to do some things to get earned media. What do you mean by do some things? What are some of the steps involved in getting media attention?
I would say the first thing that you really want to look at is how are you unique? Because it's now, here's the soundbite of the day. Anyone can stand up. How are you going to stand out? Because that is the question. Everybody's hollering. I mean, everybody's, you know, they've got a website, they've got their social media channels. Just look at your email inbox. I'm sure everybody's inundated. I know I am. I know you are, Stephanie. There's all kinds of information there. So when someone's inundated with all kinds of information, what can you say that's going to capture their attention? You have to match up what you're doing with who you're going after in such a way and say it in such a way that it captures their eye and they want to read on. So being, how are you unique is the first thing you have to look at. And you are unique. You are unique. Some ways to find out. One thing you can do is do some research on others who share your niche space. Who else writes about what you write about? Who else has a book, not necessarily similar to yours, but on the same topic? Find a list of those people and then go see what they're doing. Check out their branding. Check out how they're positioning themselves. That's the word we use. How are they describing what they do? Now, this is not to copy them. This is to eliminate that. You want to be unique from whatever they are doing. But in order to be unique, you should know what others are doing, right?
Yeah.
So being unique is essential. One other little story about that is, in addition, I've done publicity. I've done this work for years. But about 5 years ago, I took on a little side project and I produce a podcast. And this podcast does, you know, pretty well. We get 1.4 million downloads every 30 days. So it's significant. And it's in the top 30 in iTunes every week. So the point of that is that I am pitched by everybody. So from my publicity angle, I'm out there pitching. And from the podcast producer angle, I'm getting pitched. So I can see what everyone's doing. I can't tell you the value in this. And what I know for a fact is that if you have a book, for example, on thriving after adversity, if you pitch a producer, whoever, I have a book or I would like to talk about thriving on adversity, too vague and overused, their eyes will glaze over and that will be it. So how can you say that in a much more unique way? Telling a story, getting right to the heart of it, sharing something that makes your story stand out above all these others. Because most people are saying, I'd like to talk to you about thriving after adversity, but you know, it's pitched all the time. How are you unique? So I'm still on point number one, Stephanie. I could go on and on and on, you know? So that's number one. Number two, you definitely want to establish your credibility, whatever it is. So it could be your credentials in terms of PhD, MD, you know, whatever that is, or maybe you've written a book that's more experiential. That's okay. But why were you the one to write the book? What is it about you that makes you the one that other people should read this book? So you want to figure out, you know, what credentials could you highlight? And, you know, that can really run the gamut, but give it some thought. So that's the second thing that I would say about grabbing that kind of attention. In your pitch, I just want to add this because I don't want to forget it. I'm not sure it belongs exactly here, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that is, in your pitch, I want you to be sure to include a link to either video or audio that you've done. So do this before you go out to pitch. Because they have to see you or they have to hear you. And at the very minimum, they have to hear your enthusiasm or how you come across. How does your voice come across? Do you sound like someone who knows what you're talking about? If you're sounding a little bit, you know, hesitant, that doesn't go over as well, right?
Yeah, so, great point.
Yeah, so do that. You may not have any interviews yet on your book, but you can have links to presentations that you've done. But rather than linking an hour and a half presentation, see if you can, if you have someone to help you with video, see if you can post like the top 90 seconds of your best stuff. Or you could have someone do a mock interview with you. They could be off camera asking you questions. You could even edit out the questions if you want to. It's just you on camera answering and giving your key messages from your book with some enthusiasm. You want to have some energy. And I'll tell you something else. I learned this in radio because my first career was in radio years ago. Not that many years ago. I have to add that. Having some enthusiasm, I used to think, I feel like I'm over the top. I feel like I'm over the top. And then I realized over the top is good. Actually, when you yourself feel like you're over the top, that's about right.
Yep.
So record yourself, listen back to it. Have someone work with you on it. You could go as far as a media trainer if you wanted to get into your key messages or whatever, or just, you know, someone who can help you. I would, you know, personally, I think it's better to find maybe someone in Stephanie's groups or, you know, someone else to help you with that. Because sometimes friends, you know, they love you no matter what. And they're going to tell you know, you're great no matter what. It doesn't matter what you do, you're great. And you probably are great, but maybe not quite as great as you could be.
Yeah.
Did I put that all right?
Yes. Great point.
So those are some things.
I love those things. Great suggestions. And I'm sitting here flashing on the importance of being newsworthy as well, right? So can you talk about that? It's such an important point.
It really is. I mean, you have to have a reason for reaching out to media. So in addition to the points we made, tying into some news event is a great way to go about getting media attention. Tying into the calendar. Every month there's, you know, this month is Women's History Month, or this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And there's usually about 50 different, you know, descriptions of each month. So you can find something that will make you newsworthy. Seasons, you know, we're coming up, it's spring now. Maybe you have a book on spring cleaning or cleaning in general. You could make it about spring. Or maybe you have a book on graduations, that's coming up, or weddings. Weddings are coming up. June is the number one month for getting married. So that ties you in that way. There definitely has to be a reason, and you have to say what it is. Because here's the question running in the background of every media person's mind. At least earned media. The question is, why you, why now? Mm-hmm. Why you, why now? Why you is the credentials. Why now is that media hook. And just one other little thing. If you are able to tie into headlines, like the news of the day that's going on, it's usually a one-off. Like you have maybe it's something about the Ukraine, but it's not the fact that you were there while a bombing is going on. It's the fact that maybe you have someone who just came over from Ukraine and you have a story about that, or you've written something about it. We call that a one-off story. So you don't want to pitch it at the time the hard news is hitting, because media is just trying to get the story on the air. And they really don't want to hear someone who has a story that they would maybe like tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you want to pay attention to that kind of timing.
It's funny. I just, a couple months ago, I had some issues with our local high school that my son attends, and I wasn't getting any traction. So I pitched the media. I sent 3 pitches and got 2 interviews. So my philosophy has always been make their jobs easier, right? So I sent 2 different links to some resources and some statistics that were going on, and just made my case. And because it was so timely, it was really easy. It was almost like too easy to get that coverage. So,
but up at the high school was like blown away.
Well, they weren't too happy.
Well, let me just say that. Maybe they should have paid more attention.
That was my goal. That's great. To pay attention. So you want to be relevant. What happens? So let's say you send your pitches. I mean, they're going and looking at your website, right? So talk to us about the media page and why this is so important.
Oh my goodness. It is critical, because again, it will show your credibility. And also, if they decide to run a story or work with you on a story, it makes it easy for them to go and get the pieces they need, whether it's a headshot or your bio or, some sort of headline, or if they want to look at a news release or other news releases that you've written. And they can go to your website. And if you have it in the navigation bar, newsroom or media, there's different names you can have for it. Then it tells them where they can go and get the info. They don't necessarily want to slog through your sales pages, and they don't want to do that with anybody. They want to be able to know where to go and get what they need. And in fact, Stephanie, I have a handout for everybody at the end of this, anyone who might be interested, that lists all the different things that you should put in your newsroom, in your media page. But I can run through some of them. But if anybody wants that, you definitely want to have your contact info on there. Make it easy for them to reach you. It's quite remarkable how many people might forget that. If you do here's a good one. If you do an outreach to the media, don't go out, don't make a trip out of town. I mean, be available, right? So right before publishing date for a client, he told me, this was a couple of years ago, he said, oh, by the way, I'm taking a cruise to Antarctica. I said, when? He said, well, the week my book's publishing. I said, what?
No.
So don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Let's see, you want to have interview questions would be great to have on there. A company history, which might work for if you've got a book coming out and you have a business behind that, having a history of your business can be very helpful. Case studies can be great. Maybe you have a book on weight loss. Before and after pictures can be very, very powerful, and people can see what you've done. You want to make sure any graphics you use are high quality. Your photos are high quality. You want to have low resolution and high resolution, because sometimes there's magazines still out there and they want a high res photo. I recommend bios. You could have a long bio that really talks about you in lots of different ways, but a short bio is extremely important. This is how someone would introduce you on a show. So just imagine, Stephanie's introducing you for a podcast, or you're going to be on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. What is he going to say about you? So it's just a couple of sentences. So you want to have that as well. And then have other media coverage if you have it at this point. But once you do, make sure you get media coverage on there, and you can use those logos. Use them on your media page. If they're good ones, use them on your homepage too, because that automatically says something about you. It bypasses the brain. It just goes right to the emotions. Ooh, this person really, they're pretty popular. They're a big deal. Look at all the places they've been. We do that in a second's notice. It's a subconscious thing. So having those logos is great. On that media page, have them linked to the coverage, because that's great. You were on the Today Show. I click on the Today Show link. It takes me right to your interview. That's good. That's really good. And that's really important. And this happens, in a nanosecond. So you want to do these things before you do your outreach, so that it's there and ready to go.
I love this. Oh my gosh, Joanne, I have like 89 questions for you and 10 minutes boy. To ask them. So I'm always trying to be in the mind of our listener. And I think they're probably wondering, like, where do you start? Who do you pitch first? Do you start with local media? Do you recommend podcasts? What's your experience say?
Yeah, that's a great question. Part of that will be determined by the topic, really. So that's one thing you want to look at. What is it that you're promoting? But local media is great. If you can do some local media, that's wonderful, especially like go to your local television station, or maybe they would interview via Zoom. There was a lot of that during the pandemic. Some of them are still doing that. Some have you come into the studio that you can have on your website and on that media page. And it, again, it's just, it gives you all kinds of credibility because there you are and you're doing the interview and we can see you interacting with the host. We can see that you're very comfortable sitting in that chair. You look enthusiastic. You look very interested. You're looking right at the host and not at the monitor. These kinds of things. This is important. Doing some practice interviews will help you with that as well. But local media is a great place to start, particularly if you want to go after any national. Because that tells them, oh, a producer already said no to this person. A producer already said, yeah, we should do an interview with them and did an interview with you and you did well. This will help you. So again, nobody has to take a chance anymore, really. We can just see you. So,
and isn't it true national media pros are paying attention to local media stories?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's another thing you can do. So, if you have a local story, something that's going on locally, is there a national peg with that? So for example, Stephanie, I don't know what you went to the media with about your school, but that would be a question. Is this a national thing? Is this something that might be happening in other cities and at other schools? And you could take a local thing and go to the national. And if they see that that's something that would apply to everyone, they might cover it that way as well. Another thing you can do is you're looking at national news and maybe you can take a story that's happening nationally and bring it down locally. So you can go to your local media and say, hey, you know, NBC or CBS, somebody, you know, just covered this, maybe include a link and then say, here's what we're doing here in our city. And this is what I'm doing to help this situation. And you very well may get some coverage from that. So that's another way to go about it. Local's great.
I love that. Yeah. And as far as locating contacts, what do you recommend with that? I see a lot of them have mastheads on the websites now. What do you suggest for that?
Well, there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. So there are media catalogs and subscriptions you can get to media contact information. Most of them are extremely overpriced. I could complain right now, you know, but I won't. But there's one in particular I subscribe, but they've been way overpriced for years. And it's like, you know, but it's good info. But beyond that, because that's not in everybody's budget. Other possibilities, I have found LinkedIn to be great. The free version, sometimes, but if you decide to, you know, put some dollars down, if it makes sense for your business to do this and get the navigator, the paid version, that gives you more access. It gives you more access to people. It allows you to search better and you get more, I think they call it in-mails or messaging. You can reach out to more people without them being contacts and you're allowed to do that. With the free version, they limit that quite a bit. And I think there'll be more of this all the time. So you want to do your outreach now, quite frankly, now. But anyway, LinkedIn can be really good. Another way, Twitter. Twitter, it can be wonderful. A lot of media are on Twitter. You can check out your local media if you want to start local and just comment. I made a comment to, I shouldn't have brought that up because now I can't remember his name. I just love him. He's one of the big reporters. You see him at the White House all the time. And I made some comment about, I can't wait until your book comes out. Not that he's writing a book. I was just suggesting it. You know, he should write his book because, I can't even imagine what he would have to say. But the point is, I was able to directly reach him that way. And you can too. So find out who in the local area covers your beat. And also national or podcasts, you can find out who covers your topic. It's like they call it micromedia. So you're going after media that covers a topic. So maybe it's small business, or maybe it's careers, or maybe it's relationships, or maybe it's, you know, whatever, money, personal finance, you know, whatever you're writing about. You can use hashtags to find out who's commenting. Just do a little searching and see who writes on it. Start up a relationship. Comment on stories that they've written. Retweet their stories with a little comment, because they'll notice that. Believe me, they'll notice that. And then a little later, you can go in and maybe hit them up a little bit. You know, it's called earning social capital before you go in for the big ask. Mm-hmm. That's good to do. That's really good to do. Yeah. To ask out of the blue for a big ask is, you know, it's a little, what do I say? It's not a good idea. I'll put it that way.
Increase your likelihood if you've got a, and this is true. I'm just kind of relating this to everything to do with being an author, pitching editors, pitching agents, you know, just creating those relationships. But also, we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to, I know it goes so fast, but to touch on a podcast, because I think this is such an underutilized opportunity for writers. And a lot of podcasts have guest submission guidelines. Like, they tell you how to pitch them, right?
Yes, 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 yes. Follow them.
Yes.
Follow them. A lot of people don't follow them. It's a way of weeding through. It's a way of weeding through people. If you're getting pitched all over the place, one way is to tell them exactly how to pitch, and those who pay attention and do it make the next cut. And those who don't, they kind of fall by the wayside. So this is, it's not a place for arrogance. Occasionally I'll get a client that just is in the process of learning some of these things, and they want to be farther or further along than they are. Sometimes people want to be on the really big podcast before they're on the smaller ones, but the smaller ones have a lot of value. For one thing, it's a chance to practice your key messages and interact with the host and see how that goes. You'll learn from everyone you do. You don't want to go to the top podcast in the universe before you've actually practiced and gotten good at what you're doing. So practice in the smaller ones. And plus the bigger ones, they're going to look and see what else you've done anyway. And then the other thing is, they're going to want you to have an audience as well. It isn't a requirement necessarily. I mean, if they love your topic, they'll have you on anyway, even if you don't have much of a social media audience. But it definitely helps if you do, because they're looking to grow their base as well, just as you are. So if you can kind of look at it as this dance, they help you, you help them. If you have a blog post, or you have something that goes viral or has a lot of shares, do a screenshot. You can send that on as part of your pitch. Oh, by the way, I had 12,000 people share this about this particular topic. I mean, all that kind of adds to your value and helping them make their decision if they want to have you on the program. So podcasts are wonderful, and you're right in people's ears. I love that. You know, the earbuds.
And the way you're producing a podcast, we have a call for guests on for this podcast, and I'm constantly astonished by how few people follow the very basic submission guidelines of what are your topics specifically related to helping nonfiction authors. And then we get pitches for how to overcome depression, or, you know, why I wrote my memoir. And it's like, it couldn't be more clear what we're asking for. And so we invite guests, maybe one out of 10 pitches we receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you increase your chances so much when you go in understanding the podcast. And I recommend, what I would suggest is find 10 to 20 podcasts you would love to be on that makes sense for you to be on, and then go and listen to several shows. I know it takes time. It does. It takes time, but it will reward you later, because you go in when you do your pitch and you say, oh, I was listening to your show on such and such, and I really loved how you described this, and I thought your guest was really good. Here's what I could offer that I think would enhance this conversation even more. I mean, right there, you know, you've just increased your chances so much, rather than just creating a list and sending out the same thing to everyone. It just doesn't work. Yeah.
Well done, Joanne. You offer services. So tell us about those and how our listeners can find you.
Well, first of all, any listeners of Stephanie's, I want to know. So I do have that gift I mentioned earlier, how to create a media newsroom. So I'm happy to send that to you via email. If you just send me a note and I'll send that to you. I've got a book coming out. Stephanie inspired me. You know, I know you're inspiring everybody here. You always do. But it's called Media Darling, Shine Through Every Interview. And it talks about how to do your key messages and present your best self. So thank you for letting me mention that, Stephanie.
Yeah. When's the book coming out?
In April. All right. It's at the Proof Editor now. And it's getting really, really real. It's getting real at this point. So kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Well, congratulations. And how do they send you the email, Joanne?
My email address is my name. So it's Joanne, Joanne, at joannemccall.com. And McCall is McCall. And that's my website too. If they want to come there, that's fine.
Well, this was wonderful, Joanne. Thank you so much for sharing all your insights. I think we crammed a lot into a very short amount of time today.
Anytime, Stephanie, I'm always here for you.
And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us. We conduct these interviews every Wednesday. You can check the schedule on the website or sign up for our mailing list so you never miss an event. And you can do that over at nonfictionauthorsassociation.com. Make it an awesome day.